come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Acts of the Apostles, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through Acts chapters 17 through 28. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I am excited about this book of Acts, and apparently there are a number of other people excited about this book of Acts. And this morning when the ladies came in, we were standing out there, you know, just getting to know each other and signing up and all of that stuff. And the ladies were just like, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready to learn. And I am so excited to be amongst a group of ladies who are excited about learning from the Word of God. And it just blesses my heart to be able to be a part of something so, so special. And so, Lord, just as just to add to the prayer that Melody already prayed, Lord, we just come before you. We are thankful, Lord, for your presence with us. We are thankful, Lord, for your faithfulness, your love toward us, Lord, for the obviousness of your presence, Lord, that you are here and that you are in our midst. I pray, Father, for your words to be spoken and for just that excitement about your coming for us, Lord, because you are coming for your church. You are coming for your people. And we look forward to that day, Lord. We're excited about it. And we know that you have great things planned for each one of us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. So my question is, why do we study? Why do we even study the book of Acts? Why are we studying the book of Acts? Because the book of Acts is what the church should be today. The book of Acts gives us an example of what we should be like today. It's a picture of the church and what it should be like today. Paul, as well as others in this book, taught and displayed what it is to be a Jesus follower. I have in my notes what it is to be a Christian. However, I have found that for me, it means more when I say I am a Jesus follower than that I am a Christian. Now, Christian means Christ-like, and I want to be Christ-like, but I am a Jesus follower. And so a Jesus follower is going to be learning from what is in these chapters in the book of Acts. And the first thing that we see in chapter 17, the first thing that we see is that Paul and others that are in these, in the scriptures that we have that we're going to be covering, that they were encouragers. It says they were encouragers of the brethren. They encouraged the brethren, which made me kind of ask myself, and now I ask you, as they were in the midst of their challenges and the midst of their victories, they encouraged one another. I had to ask myself, in the midst of my challenges, in the midst of my victories, am I an encourager to other people? It could be just the way that I go through my challenges encourages someone else to know, yes, I can do that too. If she can do it, I know I can do it for sure. But in the middle of our victories, are we so wrapped up in our victories, or are we in our victories an encouragement to other people that, yes, you can make it too? We stand together, and that is something else that we're going to see in this in these chapters, to be friends. Friends, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's, of course, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But what we are going to talk about tonight and as we go through these chapters is what it is to be a friend, to be someone who stands with someone else and really ministers to someone else. Recently, I received a newsletter from my friends who are missionaries in China. And I had to share it with you. I really prayed about it before I did, but it was entitled Roomba on Roids. Roomba on Roids, and this is what she wrote. I don't like talking to machines. I want you to know, before I go any further, I want you to know that these people are much younger than I am. So it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the technology stuff being because they're old, okay? Because I don't like talking to machines either. But anyway, she wrote, I don't like talking to machines. I don't ask Siri where the nearest Starbucks is. I don't ask Google where what the weather in San Diego is. I don't ask Alexa to play any music or tell me a joke. I just don't. It's not that I'm against technology, modern technology. I think it's fascinating what we've developed, things that we've developed like artificial intelligence. Living in China, there's a lot of discussion about that here, but that's just it. It's artificial. We recently had an interesting encounter. We were in the elevator heading back up to our room on the 16th floor of a hotel after a long, hot day. This is what they were attending, the World Police and Fire Games. I can't wait to find out what that is, World Police and Fire Games. I'm anxious for them to explain that to me. But they were exhausted, she says, and they really just wanted to shower, and so they were a little bit annoyed when the elevator stopped at the 15th floor. They were going up to the 16th, stopped on the 15th floor. Great, another delay, is what they write. While trying to work up a pleasant smile, the elevator doors opened, and in walked, rolled, a robot. It said hello and proceeded to roll right toward me. A little startled, I thought, so what's the protocol here? Do I say hello? Do I say it in English or do I say it in Chinese? How come it said it in English to me and not in Chinese? Is it profiling me right this minute as we're in here? I wonder how long it had been waiting for the elevator. Come to think of it, I didn't know how it pushed the buttons. As these random thoughts were bouncing around in my mind, we arrived at our floor and got off. The robot stayed on, apparently preferring a different floor. Should I say goodbye? Later, they learned that the robot would go from floor to floor and do all the vacuuming, and then it would come down to the lobby, and then it would plug itself in there in the lobby to be recharged. Like a Roomba on steroids, is what she wrote. This is the picture of the robot. They went on to say, you know, they can put two camera lens eyes on a robot and paint a silly smile on its face, but it's not a friend. It's a machine. It seems we're so engaged with technology, our cell phones and other devices, that we've actually become more isolated than ever before. Experts say that we're lacking real friendships. And remember, this is not me writing these words. This is someone else writing these words. Experts say we're lacking real friendships and human contact. And I think that's true. I read an article, she writes, about a clinic in California, where else, that is offering new cuddle therapy. That's right. You pay a cuddle therapist to hug you. Ew. That's all I have to say about that. It's just, ooh, that just doesn't sound good to me at all. Obviously, they do not have someone like Annie Berry in their lives. So they pay somebody to hug them. Really, is that where we are now? Are real friendships just too hard? Do they require just too much of us? Maybe, but we need each other. We need each other. We need someone to laugh with. We need someone to cry with, someone to talk to, and yes, someone to hug us and that we can hug back. We need real friends who will tell us the truth. Real friends who will tell us the truth even when it's ugly. A real friend will tell us the truth even when it's ugly. So we need someone to cheer us on and someone to walk through this life with. God created us for relationships with Him and with others. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Those are the ones who will tell you the truth even when it's ugly, as iron sharpens iron. But how do we come to that kind of relationship with Christ? How do we come to that place with that kind of relationship with Christ and with one another? Yes, it begins when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. At that very moment, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. When we repent of those sins, we are cleansed and we move on. And it's called being born again. And you know what? I am assuming that everybody that's in this room has taken that step. But you know what? I learned a long time ago, never assume anything. So if you have not taken that step and you have not said, "Lord Jesus, would you come and live in my heart? Would you forgive me of my sins? Cleanse me. I repent of them. I turn from them and I want to be set free. Lord, I want to live for you. Come and live in my heart. Take over my life." At that moment, you are born again. It's a beginning. You are born at that time. But when person is born, they need to grow. Well, while we were in the desert in June, the Lord gave me a really great illustration. And that illustration is of a smoke tree. This is a smoke tree. And do you notice that it got its name because it looks like puffs of smoke? Can you see it in the picture? It kind of looks like little puffs of smoke. You know what that reminds me of, first of all? And if you were at the couples retreat, you heard me tell this, a little bit of this story, but our life is like a vapor. That's what that reminds me of, that little bits of smoke. Our life is like a vapor, so why not live it for Christ? Why not live our lives for Christ? Since our life is just like that, why not take every second to live for Christ? And so the smoke tree is named because it's like puffs of smoke. The smoke tree is born, or it's planted through a storm, in the middle of a storm. And when it is planted, when the floods come, they come through the wash. You see how they come through the wash there? I'm looking at it up here, so I'm directing you to look there. As it goes through the wash there, the floods come through, and the seeds are planted, and that's why you see them growing only in the washes. It takes a flood. It takes a storm for this seed to be planted. And so this seed is planted. These trees can grow 10 to 20 feet high with a width of 10 to 15 feet wide. Living in the desert, there's a very interesting thing about this tree. It takes a long time before you see any growth above ground. Why is that? The first thing to grow out of that seed is one taproot. And that taproot goes down through the soil, down through the sand, down through the rocks, down through the dark, until it reaches the water that's life-giving. And when it reaches water that's life-giving and begins to drink up that water and begins to just pour into itself all of that living water, then and only then does it start growing upward. And as it grows upward, it pushes through the dirt. It pushes through the darkness. It pushes through the rocks. It pushes through the sand. It pushes through anything that's in its way. And it comes up and it grows and it begins, it breaks through the soil and begins to produce sustenance for bees and for butterflies. When it gets the flowers on it, they're purple and they're really, really beautiful. And they last about that long. So, but they are really, really beautiful. But because of that attachment to this life-giving water, because this taproot has gone down so far, so deep, that the tree cannot be pulled out. If you just look at the next slide that we have, you'll see a picture of Bill. And you see how tall that tree is? You see that it's only as high as his knee. Well, we had been told that you can't pull out a smoke tree. But Bill tried to pull out the smoke tree. It wouldn't even wiggle. Why? Because there's a root, one root, that is attached to the living water. And it's gone down so far that when the storms come that planted that, it can't be moved. It's sustained. Even the storms and floods that planted it cannot uproot it. And the illustration is clear, I hope. We study the book of Acts so that we might go deeper and, like Paul and the others, not be dislodged when the storms come. We're going to go deeper into Christ. We're going to deep down for that living water that is ours to have through Christ Jesus. The study through chapters 17 through 28 will teach us how to stand together and how to stand alone, knowing that even when I'm standing alone, I have people, I have sisters, I have other people that are praying for me, other people that are carrying me. Even when I'm standing alone and I don't see them with me. But I'm going to tell you, we need to spend face time with one another. We need to have that face time with one another, not the mechanical face time with one another, although that works very well to see each other. We need that face to face where I can touch you. I can put my hand on your hand. I can pat your cheek if you'd probably slap me if I did it. But anyway, but don't mess with my makeup. But just to have a relationship where you're actually looking at somebody in the eyes and you're talking to them, talking directly to them, it gives us something that no text can ever give us. And even as we do FaceTime, although, again, it's a good way to be able to keep in touch, especially if you're a long distance from someone, when you have that physical together time, it builds a relationship that's totally different from just looking at each other. And God, Jesus Christ, came and died on a cross so that we could have that kind of relationship with one another because of what he's done for us. And so, we have friends who stand with us, and they are there for us in prayer and in provision when necessary. God has called us to relationship with him and with others, and that call is the very same today in today's technology as it was in the early church, that we would have that same kind of relationship. You know, there's something different about being able to talk to someone. And you guys who know me know that everything I think is just right there. You know what? I can't hide anything. But there is something about being able to sit across from someone and look them in the face and know what they're thinking. Because you have a relationship with them that understands where they're at. That's what God calls us to, because that's the kind of relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. We can know what he's thinking, and we can move in the way that he tells us to move. We can have that kind of relationship. And I am so proud of all of you. People talk about our women's ministry, by the way. I have heard people talking about our women's ministry and the way that you love one another, the way that you care for one another, the way that you are there when there is a need, the way that you care for people during memorial services, when there's a wedding, when there's something else going on, when there's a sudden tragedy. You are there for one another. And I have seen you grow in that. And I am so proud of you guys. You are amazing women of God. And I am so thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. So exciting to be a part of that. So, now this is probably the weirdest introduction you have ever had to any scriptures whatsoever up to this point. But what and who will we be introduced to in these chapters? Okay. We will be introduced to the ability to stand together with one another. We will be introduced to the ability to stand together with one another. We will be introduced to how to listen to one another. Oh, listening is so much fun, isn't it? Don't we like to be the one talking? Well, when I'm not up here, I'm not really the one. I would rather listen, honestly. I think I'm shy, but that's to remains to be seen. Anyway, she's dying over here. She doesn't believe me. How to listen to one another and to respond with humility. To listen to one another and to respond with humility. There'll be times when Paul will take direction from others as to when to go into certain places and when to remove himself and whether or not he should remove himself in a quiet way or in a way that brings attention to himself. Someone else will lead him in those things, but they are led by the same Spirit. He was humble enough. This man that we look at as being a rather prideful man humbled himself and listened to other people that were Spirit-led. He didn't see himself as always right among the brethren. He could take God-directed advice, even when it was being delivered by someone through someone else. We'll meet a number of new people. We'll meet Aquila and Priscilla, the couple that worked so well together. We will meet Eutychus, a young boy who sat up in the window listening to Paul talk and talk and talk. And talk. And so much so that into the night he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, he fell three stories down. And he lived to tell about it. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit in lives. We learn of the disciples who were introduced to the Holy Spirit. They were disciples. They were learning of Christ, but they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. We will learn about those people. And we will learn about the Holy Spirit. We'll learn about the sons of Sceva. You remember those guys? They were the ones who wanted all the power without any of the responsibility, without any of the relationship. They wanted all the power. Give me all the power. Let me do this. I can do this. I cannot do this. And they bear the consequences of it. And we'll talk about them. We'll learn of the riot because of the idol makers. Paul will tell us, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry, that I might finish the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has given you a ministry. He's given you a ministry. We want to finish strong. And I want to be able to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That was the ministry that Paul had been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the ministry we all have, to testify of the gospel. We'll be introduced to Philip the evangelist with his four virgin daughters who prophesied. We'll learn of Paul's visit with James when James told him a better way to be able to do things to minister to the Jews. Yes, Paul will get arrested. Paul will once again give his testimony. In fact, I think it's three times in this section of texts that he will give his testimony again and again and again. Paul will be sent to Felix, the governor, who had Felix had an accurate knowledge of the way. He knew the truth. He believed Paul. And yet, Felix so feared the people, was so much a people pleaser, that to please the Jews, he left Paul in prison when he left office. Paul will appeal to Caesar. We'll have an introduction to King Agrippa. Paul will go on his cruise to Rome. And he'll experience the storm at sea. We'll see how he arrives in Rome and remains a prisoner, but the gospel will never remain a prisoner. He'll be under house arrest. He will have one guard with him at all times. Who is the prisoner? Because the gospel didn't stop going anywhere. It was the guard that became the prisoner of Paul. Became the prisoner of Christ Jesus, because Paul goes, yeah, and let me tell you, well, what else Jesus did. And then we went over to there, and then this miracle happened, and I just said, and you can't go anywhere because you're taking care of me, and I'm so thankful that you're taking care of me, and Jesus can take care of you too, and he can save you, and you all you have to do is give him your heart, and you know, Paul would go on and on and on. And the guard cannot leave. Yes. Okay, so how did Paul manage to stand strong through all of this? I submit to you that it was because his taproot was connected to the living water, and that he drew strength from that living water, deep and securely fastened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got by with a little help from his friends as well. So I can't wait to get into these chapters. I can't wait to see what God's going to do for this through this study. And I hope that you will write in your books that the Lord is going to show you a word through this, not just a word, but he's going to give you words. And when God gives you something during this study, not just in your study time, but when you're just listening or something like that, and you go, oh man, that's God, and write it down. And at the end of this study, see what God has done in your life when you're done. So let's get into God's word next week, into chapter 17. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We are thankful that your word is true. It is living. And it is powerful. And we are thankful, Lord, that you are working in our lives and that you are changing us from glory to glory. And you will raise us up on that last day, Lord. We are so thankful that you have come to save us and that you have loved us with that everlasting love. Thank you, Lord. As the ladies get into their groups, let this time be sweet with your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Of your name.
giving up, letting go, standing up.